You know, when you look in your closet for clothes, we always have those pieces that you keep grabbing for and wearing on repeat. The sweater that goes with everything, the perfect pair of pants, or that tee you somehow always reach for first. Those are the pieces that make getting dressed easy, and that's what Quince does best. Quince focuses on high-quality wardrobe staples made with premium materials like 100% Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, and merino wool. The styles are timeless, versatile, and designed to become dependable pieces you reach for every day. Guys, summer is over and fall is right around the corner, and it's my favorite time of year for clothes in the fall because you still get some of that light, breathable, fitted tees and light pants that you want to wear when it's early September and still warm. But it starts to transition into that colder weather where you're going to need some sweaters. You're going to need to up your game and reorganize your closet as we transition into the late fall, early winter. Quince is your place to go for all things clothes. I love their linens. We talked about it all summer. It was TiVo linens out in Greece all summer long. But now as we head into the fall, we're looking for maybe some more t-shirts, some pants. And then again, once the weather turns and I go up north for the Christmas holiday season, I'll definitely be doing their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters that I love so very much. Guys, Quince is amazing. The website is awesome. I've talked about it before. It's not just clothing. Quince brings the same approach to everything they make, from hotel quality bedding and bath to kitchen essentials and thoughtfully designed furniture. They make well-designed pieces for everyday living. I talk about it all the time. They do everything the right way. Find your next fall favorites at Quince. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns, now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Out East Summit. I'm here with the CEO and co-founder of Fairmint, Joris Delanoux. Joris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been enjoying the summit?
Absolutely. like last year, we are a proud sponsor of the
Wonderful
cocktail reception.
Yeah.
And I think it's a fantastic event for people to make new connection, to have great conversation.
Yeah.
And yeah, sponsoring the first evening before kickoff of the summit the day after is always, it was good for ice breaking.
For sure, yeah. Look, we're really excited to have you because you are an expert when it comes to all things tokenization.
Yeah.
Tokenization has been, in the 15 or so conversations we've had, the word of the year, it feels like. So you're in a hot sector.
Yeah.
But before we get into what makes tokenization special and all that, I want to know a little bit about who you are and what you were doing before you were building Fairmint, and then we'll get into Fairmint.
Sure. So I've been an entrepreneur since 20 years now in Europe. I was in France before to come to the US. And I've been working in mostly cloud computing for several years before I exited my former business. And what was absolutely key in all my experience there was it is extremely hard to do capital formation and extremely hard to easily bring people to the cap table.
Yeah.
Whether they are an employee or partner. And the reality is, if you don't ease that, it's extremely hard to imagine a world where we can IPO faster.
Right.
Where we can bring liquidity to the early supporters faster. And this is one of the reasons why I think today the market is a bit blocked. Tokenization is just like a way of facilitating things, okay? And that's why I keep saying to people, tokenization is more and more a commodity. It was obviously super complex. You know, 10 years ago, you were a smart contract dev. You were part of the very happy few. You were able to charge a lot of money, whether as a freelancer or as an employee, because no one knew about smart contract at that time. Today, at the age of ERA, we have a lot more people, 10 years building in this ecosystem makes it more accessible. So what I did by coming to the States is really like use what I had as an entrepreneur for years, identify the problem also as an investor, and building something that would make more sense when it comes to issue equity securities, because we are in the equity capital market at Fairmint. And yeah, I think when my co-founder exposed me to blockchain, I was like, ooh, that reminds me a lot of like the cloud computing in
the breakthrough.
Yeah. And this new technology that will drastically change the way we are operating things.
Yeah.
And I think finally we are seeing the blockchain for what it is. That's very exciting.
Love it. And so walk us through Fairmint. I kind of want to get a full holistic view of what it is that you're building, who you're building for, and what's your mission?
Yeah. So at Fairmint, we are building the on-chain equity capital market stack.
Okay.
We operate as a transfer agent registered to the SEC, but we operate in a way that is fully on-chain, which means that we literally use the blockchain as the unique source of truth, but with the guarantee of and the liability of the intermediary that were built like 60 years ago when the DCC started and the transfer agent became this backbone of the industry. And so our mission is very simple. Once you have real share natively issued on chain, you can connect that to all the DeFi smart contracts that were built for 10 years to make those assets more liquid, to be used as collateral, to also change the way governance of those assets can work.
Yeah.
And you offer the liveness that everyone expects in 2026.
Yeah.
That everyone experiments in the crypto markets, but that is not yet fully live for equity securities.
Yeah.
This is what we build at Fairmint. Like literally, our mission is to make equity move on chain.
And is that equity that's public equity or private equity or both?
That's both, mostly because the technology is completely coming to blur the line between the two worlds.
Okay.
If you are able to do capital formation, if you are able to transact, whether the company is private or public, the only differences will be on the compliance, will be on the criteria. Like you need more disclosure if you are public. But at the same time, you have an unlimited numbers of people that can be sitting on the cap table.
Right.
But if you are private, you have less disclosure, but you need to monitor the numbers of seats on your cap table. So that's a kind of example. But the reality is, who cares now? If you are able to offer to an issuer an access to a distribution where he can get capital, where his shareholders can get some liquidity or can get an opportunity to turn the shares into collateral. I mean, people won't care if the company is private or public. This is where the tokenization as a tooling is very interesting because it helps blurring the line.
Yeah.
And 60 years ago, we decided as an industry to make the public market super robust, super reliable and trustable. But nothing was done on the private side.
Right.
Until we started to have a lot of big companies staying private.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, guys, you will see run on an Excel on steroids.
Yeah.
You can call it Carta. You can call it a law firm.
Yeah. Computer share.
That's for public.
Yeah.
But the private side is still very antiquated way.
Oh, okay.
And we are bringing precisely the transfer agency to hold the issuers that decide to use it.
Yeah.
So that your cap table can be IPO ready, not because you are IPOing, but because you are an issuer.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak. 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount, budget, or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves, and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go, capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows, it uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto 101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101.
I'm curious, like, for those people who are listening, who they might not be running a startup, they might not be part of a private company, but they're trying to invest in these private opportunities. There was a big story recently when everybody and their brother was thinking they were owning Anthropic shares. Yeah. And then all of a sudden Anthropic came and said, those are zeroed out. There's a bunch of companies, I don't want to name them, that were doing these SPVs. And so I want to understand, first, what went wrong with that model?
Yeah.
And secondly, how does your model enable the everyday person to get access to early stage private companies?
So first of all, I don't think we should trash too much what has been built, because the problem of having companies with a lot of traction but that remain private was an issue.
Okay.
Okay. Two, there is a huge demand around the world to get a fraction of the financial upside of US entities.
Yes.
Private or public.
Right.
So all we saw is just an answer to those two problems, a big demand and the companies that stay private longer.
Yeah.
That being said, what's very important is, what are you purchasing? And I'd like to connect that to all the token and ICO craze.
Yeah.
Or I could talk about the
NFT way. Are you getting voting rights? Are you getting the dividends? Are you getting the legal?
The question is, what are you buying? And do you know what you are buying?
Right.
So, unfortunately, the term token was used extensively to qualify a cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency behind, you back it with trust. So either you trust the team, you trust the project, you trust the tech, or you trust nothing, and in that case, it fails.
Yeah.
But when you start to talk about a company, you immediately think as equity. So you think that you're an equity holder. This is where intermediaries that start issuing token version of a financial upside of an equity park in a SPV layer 1, 2, 3. If it's very clear and you explain that to the person that is purchasing, that's fine. The problem was they didn't say it. And if you
cloaked it in the very, very, very fine print, and
or if you are trying to do secondaries without the authorization of the board, which was the case for Anthropic,
yeah,
then you take the risk of what's called the right of first refusal, where the board can say, no, I don't transfer that asset. So this is where we need to, at one point, have people that are paying attention to what is effectively transmitted, what is the underlying asset. Is an asset that is liquid or illiquid? If it's illiquid, what are the rights of transferring that asset?
Yeah.
If you are able to do that properly by just letting people who know about this dealing with that, I mean, you don't take any risk.
Yeah.
I think Anthropic was just sending a message like, stop.
Stop fucking with our cap table.
Yeah, because the main issue for them.
And they're going to go public soon, so they wanted to protect everything. And
well, it's also because by law, you cannot have more than X shareholder as a private company without triggering what's called a 12G threshold. And you can have like basically 500 non-accredited or 2,000 shareholders on your cap table.
Oh, okay.
But if someone is starting to sell and fractionalize the shares, like the company might end up with people that they don't want or too many people.
Yeah.
That was the first problem. The second one is, if they don't control anymore their valuation, those companies are heavily relying on options to onboard talent.
Yeah.
So if you start to say to your employees, hey, I'm going to give you options to exercise at 10% of the current market value, the last round, but actually you have people that are selling at 20.
Yeah.
You are literally fucking the whole valuation of the business.
Yeah.
So those are the reasons why the board are very protective.
Interesting.
But we can come to with a solution to it. The moment that we understand that problem, that for example, Stripe solved by raising a massive round a few years ago to exit all their shareholders right. that were employees, that had their option plan that were coming to a term.
Yep.
Gusto did it last year as well. This is a real problem to fix.
Yeah.
How do we bring liquidity? Well, let's ease capital formation. Let's make sure that the board have an easy way of setting things up.
Yeah.
For them to control. And in that case, everything will be smooth.
Yeah.
And then let's make it easy to IPO. Like today, one of the biggest risks is disclosures, is compliance, is the full intermediation that makes an IPO extremely expensive.
Yeah.
You do a roadshow in Wall Street and you
get
will
some
give
big investment banks.
Yeah. And you will give like 20%. If you do a SPAC, you will give 30%. That's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
You see? So we need to ease that. Tokenization is one of the best tools to make all this way smoother.
When do you think, because right now, like, you know, a lot of the themes of the conversation we've been having are, you know, tokenization is this in crypto, right? It's a really, really big concept, but maybe it's a little further out of the money. Tech investors are focused on AI right now. They're focused on things that are right here, right now. When is it that tokenization in crypto is going to come back, going to be the bell of the ball again, will command these high valuations? Do you think it's 5 years down the line? Do you think it's closer than that? Where are we at?
So where we are right now is already unbelievable.
Okay.
Okay. If you think, like, remember the NFT craze, the meme coin,
yeah,
the ownership economy, all the thesis of Polak with Base.
And, yep.
Like at one point, it was almost impossible to exist doing securities.
Yeah.
The shift is massive already.
Yeah.
But it's still probably a 5 to 10 years move.
Yeah.
It will take time, but you know, when you are a big bank, when all your assets and industry run on AWS, on cloud,
yep,
Google, Microsoft, I mean, moving from there to a blockchain is a very big move.
Yeah.
And you are facing an industry that spent the last 60 years alleviating risk, making sure that everything is rock solid. And you tell them, oh, you know what? Fuck all that. Just trust us, the small dev that do smart contract, DeGen style. Well, they have been observing everything for months,
yeah,
for years. When they are ready to press the button, that's because they made sure that there would be no risk integrating this new piece of technology.
Yeah.
I think we are still in the process of that. It's probably, yeah, probably a couple of years. But look at the DCC and what they announced this week.
That was huge.
Yeah. And they are just like moving from a very COBOL mainframe era to immediately tokens.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Do you foresee like your acquisition strategy evolving? Are you guys going directly to private companies and saying, hey, let's take a look at your cap table, how we could help you? What's kind of the strategy to grow your customer base?
So the right now, what we observe that is very obvious is the need from both sides, private and public. Issuers that are bigger are coming to us saying, we want a better form of transfer agency. We want to make sure that whatever we originate, whatever we issue, is done in a way that allow us to be connected to outsourcers, to all the pool of liquidity, but not the national exchange. That this is not what we offer them.
Right.
But all the distribution that we're built for the last 10 years.
Are you talking about crypto Ethereum
exchange? No, I'm talking of any district, whether it's DeFi, centralized, whole legacy systems. Right now, the main thing for them is, can we rely on an interoperable way of dealing with securities,
yeah,
in equity world? Like, sure, once again, we are very focused equity on the equity capital market. But the moment that you feed them with the exact same asset as they would get from Carta, except its own chain, and because of that, they can plug to all the traditional exchanges, all the traditional actors, and the new distribution.
Right.
You are already solving one of the biggest pain of the issuers.
Love it.
This is where we are right now. This is why we see publicly listed entities coming to us saying, hey, we just want a better user experience for ourselves. Clearly, the industry is not offering that. And it's very funny. I had an analogy offered to me this week from a CFO of a Nasdaq listed co. He was telling me, look, all the system that was built 60 years ago with the TCC and broker dealers and all is like the Washington Bridge. The tokenization platform that come on top of that, they are basically the new deck that they build on the Washington Bridge.
Over it.
But it's still the same bridge.
Yeah.
You guys are building Hyperloop on the side. Doesn't mean that you will kill the Washington Bridge. Just mean that now you have another path.
Yeah.
And what you can expect from that is probably cheaper, faster, easier to deal with. And it might answer to a new class of issuer that are more like internet, web 2, web 3 savvy.
Yeah.
And all these guys that are, yeah, using Amazon Prime, or that buy a car with the app on Tesla.
Yeah.
they would like to deal with their transfer agency the same way.
Yeah.
This is what we offer.
I absolutely agree. And I'm excited for the future that you're building. Where can people find out more about Fairmint? Obviously, your website, but do you blog on LinkedIn? Are you posting on X? What handles can be subscribed to?
So fairmint.com, obviously. But you can reach out on LinkedIn and X, absolutely. That's the two network where we are.
Perfect.
We try to post article when it makes sense and to share things when we really believe in it.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I'm excited. Everybody, that's Joris Delanoux, CEO and co-founder of Fairmint. Check him out, fairmint.com. Enjoy the rest of your summit. Thanks for sponsoring all this great stuff. We had a lot of fun, so we'll see you around.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Take care.